My dear brethren and sisters in the Lord Jesus Christ, Yahweh, whom we serve and whom we worship, brethren and sisters, we are instructed in the Gospel of Matthew 28 that he has given to his Son all power in heaven and earth. He gave abundancy. When as if the door of hope had been shut upon them, that they were in great distress. It was after his resurrection that he uttered such words to them to give them strength, encouragement, exhortation, warning and comfort. And throughout the scriptures we will see by figure of speech something being used in such a way to encourage us, to strengthen us, to comfort us, and to exhort us. We've already used many of these before we've come here. We've come through at least two. And we use it in such a way that it becomes something of insignificance, unless we think of our belongings and we feel that it's necessary to lock the door. And in figure of speech, the door has been used in Scripture to speak of authority and of power that resides in the one that can open it and that can shut it. And so it is that when he writes to an ecclesia, in the last message that he gives in the word of Almighty God, an ecclesia which was experiencing despondency because of what they were suffering from those that were without, one that felt that it had little strength to combat that which was disturbing them at that present time, he writes to them and uses such a term to bring comfort and exhortation to them. And we find it in the Apocalypse in chapter 3 when he addresses the ecclesia at Philadelphia, and in verse 7 that one addresses them in such terms, and to the angel of the ecclesia in Philadelphia, to the spirit guided eldership of those that were at Philadelphia, brethren and sisters, he writes, "These things saith he that is holy, he that is true, he that hath the key of David, he that openeth and no man shutteth and no man openeth." And by it, brethren and sisters, a thing which we use every day of our life has now become something of great significance in the teaching that he can give us in the light of God's word. A door. And it speaks of the one that has that power and that authority that can open and that can close it. And we that have met this afternoon to remember that one into whom hands the Father has given all power and all authority, as the one who was of the descendant of David, who was given that key because of the very life that he lived and the sacrifice that he made, that it was given unto him that he might open and that he might close, that authority and that power was given to him in relationship to the promises made unto the fathers, particularly unto David, in relationship to the kingdom of God. And here he's addressing the brethren and sisters who are experiencing great difficulty. They'd gone through a period of time, brethren and sisters, in their life in the truth, and they were now, as it were, being oppressed, held down. And he writes to them to show to them quite clearly that he's in control of all things. He has that power to open and to close that door. It's to such a verse 8 that he addresses the church. I know thy works. Now that can be a warning and it can be a comfort, brethren and sisters. He knew the works of the brethren and sisters in Philadelphia. He knows the life and he knows the works of the brethren and sisters at Bourneville and here at Napton. He knows our heart and our minds and the thoughts and the intents of such. He can inspect it by the Spirit of Almighty God. I know. Now, according to our disposition and according to our way of life, it can be a source of comfort or it can be a terrible source of warning. If it's a source of warning, he is giving us opportunity to mend our ways. But it also can be a source of comfort if our heart is right with our Maker, as it was with David. And here, brethren and sisters, are these words addressed to such: I know thy works, behold, I have set before thee an open door. He was showing to them very clearly indeed that if they remained faithful to him, as individuals and collectively as an ecclesia, that door was opened in which they could hold forth the word of life. That he wouldn't overburden them, that it would suffocate it and drive it away. Here is strength, here is exhortation, here is comfort to us in this day and age. We that have embraced the truth as it is in Christ Jesus have come within the flock, within the fold, we've approached through the door. It's the other figure of speech is used, John chapter 10. The very thing that we've come to remember this afternoon in the breaking of bread and in the drinking of wine, brethren and sisters, the figure of a door was used to impress upon the mind of the first time that the Passover was kept, that they should enter into it, and that in entering into it, they passed under the blood-sprinkled lintel and doorpost, and it was an act of faith, and they became part of the household of faith. And they should not leave such until the authority was given by Almighty God that they should set forth. So we see a figure of speech of the door being used in such a way. And we that have come within that door, just as Noah was instructed to go through a door and Yahweh closed the door and Yahweh opened it at the appointed time, so in relationship to ourselves, it's showing to us very clearly indeed that the one that we love and the one that we serve, Yahweh, and now that power is invested in his Son to open and to close, and no one can frustrate the plan and purpose of Almighty God and his power to accomplish it. No one. And he has chosen, brethren and sisters, in his loving kindness to call you and myself to that purpose. Think of it. As the Lord Jesus Christ addresses those brethren and sisters there at Philadelphia and so to us, that he can say, I have an open door to you. I can open it, I can close it. He is the one, brethren and sisters, whom we serve and whom we know. Behold, I have set before thee an open door, and no man can shut it. See how powerful the lesson it is, for thou hast little strength, but here's the point, and hast kept my word, and hast not denied my name to such. He writes these words by way of comfort and exhortation and encouragement. And so the plumb line has to be put alongside us, does it not? to see whether we're straight or whether we're true, of whether we have kept that faith, whether we have kept that word, whether we have been individuals who have not denied that name. And to such he gives this word of exhortation and comfort. We know that all things work together for those that love God and that are called according to his purpose, says Paul in his epistle to the Romans. We know that. We've read it time and time and time again. And then the time comes in our life when he wishes to prove that faith. And he places us in a situation just as Philadelphia was. They were made of the same nature as we, just as the Lord Jesus Christ was. Same nature as ourselves. They were experiencing the difficulty that comes with the bearing of that nature in living the life of the truth. But there can be no goal of faith unless that faith is tried. And so it was with the Master. He went through a trial of faith. We've read of it. We've been reading of it as we've gone through the Gospel narrative. We read of it in the Old Testament. And how he committed himself to do the will of his Father in heaven. I come not to do mine own will, but the will of him that sent me. There, within the garden, expressed in such graphic way, given in such detail of the agony of mind that he was in. Nevertheless, not my will, but thy will be done. How it speaks volumes, brethren and sisters, of that one whom we can approach the Father through as our great high priest in his presence. That he knows our needs. And he can know of our infirmities. Because he was tried and he was tested in all things like unto his brethren. And here, that faith of the brethren and sisters of Philadelphia was now being tried. He says, keep my word. Don't deny my name. And he then didn't put them in an island. He didn't put them in a position where there was only those that were around them that had the same ideals. He placed them in circumstances, no doubt, where within the ecclesia there would be those that would be eventually opposed to them. He placed them in a position, they were placed in a position in a world which is opposed to God and the Lord Jesus Christ. Love not the world, nor the things that are in the world. The lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. We find ourselves in that position. That's the position we are in. And he says to us now, hold fast. Don't let it go. I'm always with you. And he asks us to have that faith and that strength to commit ourselves to him in such a way. And so our faith becomes tried faith because it's gone through the fire of adversity and of difficulty. And here is great strength and great comfort. And the Lord Jesus Christ knows exactly what's going on. This is what he records here. I know thy works. And we remember, do we not, how throughout the whole of his life, that was that living example of loving obedience to the word of the Father. He was the word made flesh. That word was made and became a living reality in his life. And that word can only become a living reality in our life, brethren and sisters, if we keep it and we have faith in it. And that faith develops into the works which are pleasing to Almighty God. And then it becomes a power in our life to sustain us and to strengthen us through the trials of life. And so we can take great comfort and great encouragement, brethren and sisters, with those of like precious faith throughout the ages, who have seen in their life Almighty God working to bring about his purpose in relationship to them and in relationship to the ultimate purpose of establishing his kingdom upon this earth, when his will be done on it as it is even done in heaven. That God may be all and in all. We can look through the history, can't we? And we can see at the same time how doors have been opened and been closed in relationship to the lives of faithful individuals. At times when all hope seemed to have been lost, only to find another door being opened, over which they would have and didn't have any control. Think of them. Think of Jacob. Go through the life of Jacob in your mind. Of the events which took place. And then his father says to him, well, I think you better leave and go and seek a wife. And it was only said because of the difficulties within the house, because of Esau. Read through the account in Genesis. And a door was closed. And everything that he loved and held quite dear, he had to flee away from. And then he comes to Luz, Bethel. And there he has the vision. And another door is opened in the plan and purpose of Almighty God that man couldn't frustrate. Because Jacob said that if God would be faithful to him, he would be faithful to God, in that he would bring him back. And Almighty God did. Might have taken years to accomplish it. And Jacob might have run away from Laban, and he might have come, as we know he did, in fear of Esau. And Esau could come with hundreds of his troops. And yet Almighty God closed the door and opened it. Man couldn't frustrate it. And so Jacob, with all of his fear and all of the arrangement that he made for his household in how he should meet Esau, he was welcomed. He went back into the land. Think of Joseph in relationship to the plan and purpose of Almighty God. Cut off from his house, sold by his brethren, first cast into a pit. All hope would seem to be lost. A door had been closed. In the plan and purpose of Almighty God, a door was to be opened in relationship to him. And in it all his faith was going to be tried. There in Potiphar's household, having to experience the lies and the deceit of that woman, of Potiphar's wife, that led to false arrest and false imprisonment. He had to wait 14 to 15 years before the door was opened, that he became a saviour to his family and to the world. Think of it in relationship to the life that we have in the truth, brethren and sisters. We want things to be immediate, don't we? If things come and they seem to be oppressive, we want them taken away immediately like that. Look how Almighty God works with his people, with his faithful individuals. Oh yes, he can work very quickly, but he also takes time. And we have to have the patience and the endurance, brethren and sisters, not forsaking the word or denying his name, but patiently holding fast to these things, that we might be a living example that we are his children. And that we recognise that the Father that we serve is one that cares for us with loving and tender care, because he has our future well-being in mind. What a powerful lesson it is to us as we see these things set before us. Those of like precious faith. We could go through the rest of Scripture, couldn't we? We could look at Daniel. There's another example. All the deceit that went on. the intrigue that went on to get him thrown into the lion's den. Get rid of him. That's all it was. All of those that were his so-called friends. Great power and great authority. And Almighty God could close the mouth of the lions and the door of the where the lions were could be taken and rolled, whatever door, type of door it was, would be taken away and he'd come forth. What's the word trying to teach us, brethren and sisters? In the simplicity of these things, we were taught them when we were in Sunday school. And we would say, it's teaching you to have faith in God. And as we grow older, these in their simplicity seem to be things that we tend to forget. And we become more complicated in our philosophy and in our teaching. And we're the greater the sufferers because of it. But it's a simplicity of faith which Almighty God wants. And he wants us to show it in our lives. And here it's set before us in a most wonderful way. Jesus, as we know, is set before us as the door. Turn with me to John 10, if you will. And here we can see once again wonderful words of comfort and encouragement and of exhortation. John 10 verse 1. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. But he that entereth by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calleth his own sheep by name, and leadeth them out. And when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. What simplicity of teaching, brethren and sisters. It speaks of a shepherd going forth, a shepherd that can call to his flock. And all that's required of the flock is that they hear his voice and follow him. What tremendous simplicity of teaching is set before us here as individuals in Christ Jesus, that we are called upon to hear his voice and to follow him. And so we see, brethren and sisters, these things are not of difficult understanding. They are simplicity, the simplicity of the truth. And we are called upon to follow them. Look at verse 7 to 9. Then said Jesus unto them again, verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. All that ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. See the terms? Hear his voice. Take no notice of those that are without. What powerful lessons there are for us here. The door, as a figure of speech, has been used in Scripture. A door of utterance. A door being opened unto the spreading of God's word by the apostles. It's all there within the epistles, brethren and sisters. And so we can see that through it all, Almighty God working to fulfil his purpose. And so it was with the Lord Jesus Christ. He could say to those that had come to them, this is your hour, the hour of darkness. He could say in his ministry, the hour is not yet, the hour has not come, it is now. Knowing in a full assurance of faith that the Father indeed was working through him, and that his life was in the hands of the Father. He that giveth life and taketh away, can he not give it again to those that are faithful in him? Of course he can. And so it is, brethren and sisters, we are reminded this afternoon as we come to partake of the bread and of the wine, of that great sacrifice that was accomplished by that one whom we've come to love and in that love strive to serve him faithfully. We partake of the bread which speaks of that body given as we sang in that hymn. And we partake of the wine which speaks of that life of sacrifice, that in him we might find a covering and forgiveness of sin. And in such it wells within us a greater hope, a greater encouragement to commence our walking again with strength and in vigour, knowing that into his hands has been given all power and all authority, that he indeed can open and close doors, and he will do internationally. That's spoken of in Revelation 4. Let's just have a look at it, because it takes on the theme, doesn't it, in regards to these matters. That the sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ and the glorious resurrection was an assurance of that he will come again. And so in a figurative language we are told in Revelation 4 verse 1, after this I looked, and behold, a door was opened in heaven, and the first voice which I heard was as it were of the trumpet talking with me, which said, come up hither. Now here is figurative language of the work of the Lord Jesus Christ and the saints in glory, in which the political heavens will be opened. And in the opening of the political heavens there will be established the throne of David. And sitting upon that throne there will be that one who has the keys of David, that openeth and no man shutteth. And here it's set before us in a wonderful way again. Show those things which must be hereafter. And immediately I was in the spirit, and behold, a throne was set in heaven. In the political heavens, with that door being opened by the work of the Lord Jesus Christ and the saints, the kingdom of God is established, and it comes out of the things which we've come to remember. The one is absolutely inseparable from the other. It's the assurance of the fact that he will come again. Let us take encouragement then, brethren and sisters, by the things that we read and by the things that we have come to come do in remembrance of the one that we have come to love. And with that love, let it be a power in our lives, that indeed it might be seen of us that we are individuals that have kept his word and not denied his name.